نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله over the past few weeks we touched upon some basic مسائل of طهارة cleanliness the different types of impurity how a person can clean himself etc. Inshallah now we will begin with some masail pertaining to wudu. Wudu ablution, which as we all know, a person must perform before reading his salah, before touching the Quran. Some basic masail with regards to that over the coming weeks, inshallah. So firstly, some fada'il and virtues with regards to wudu. So wudu is a prerequisite, a condition for salah, a condition for touching the Quran, but it is an act of ibadah as well. It is an act of worship for which a person is greatly rewarded. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, "Inna ummati yud'auna yawm al-qiyamati ghuram muhajjalin min athar al-wudu." That my nation, my ummah, they will be called on the day of Qiyamah in the condition that their faces and some of their body parts are shining and are illuminated due to the effects of wudu. So that person who is punctual on his wudu throughout his life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him the honor that these body parts of his will be shining on the day of Qiyamah. And this will be a sign for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to recognize his nation on the day of Qiyamah in front of all the creation. Another narration, rather, there are many narrations which tell us that when a person performs his wudu, then the minor sins which he has committed with those body parts, they are washed off and the sins are forgiven. When a person washes his face, then the sins he has committed with his eyes, they fall off. When a person washes his mouth, then the sins that he has committed with his tongue, they are washed off. And this refers to the minor sins. Because for the major sins, it's necessary that the person does tawbah and repentance as well. Third and final hadith, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentions, أَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ مَا يَمْحُوا اللَّهُ بِهِ الْخَطَايَا وَيَرْفَعُ بِهِ الدَّرَجَاتِ That shall I not show you or inform you with regards to that which will forgive your sins and which will elevate your status in Jannah. So your sins will be forgiven and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise your rank in Jannah. He said, إِسْبَاهُ الْوُضُوءُ مَعَ الْكَرَاهَا That to complete your wudu, to do your wudu properly, even though you may be in a state that you dislike this. It is cold, it is winter, Fajr time, and a person does not wish to come out of his bed, does not wish to put cold water or water over his body, but he does this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And despite the hardship, and despite not liking this, he completes his wudu properly. So Prophet ﷺ mentions this. وَكَثَرَ الْخُطَاءُ الْمَسَاجِدِ And to take many steps towards the masjid, and وَانْتِظَارُ الصَّلَاةِ بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ And to wait for one salah after performing another salah, the Prophet ﷺ mentions, فَذَلِكُمْ الْرِبَاطِ So these actions are known as ribat. Now ribat means when a person stands at the border and he does not let the enemy come in. So from the Mujahideen, when they stand at the borders of the Islamic country and they do not let the enemies come in, then this is known as ribat. And this is greatly rewarding. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that these three actions, performing wudu properly, even though a person may dislike this, for a person to take many steps towards the masjid, and for the person to, after one salah, he has this desire and he waits for the other salah, these actions are equal to ribat. And the scholars mentioned that just how the person who is standing at the border of the country, he does not let the enemy come in, these actions do not let shaitan affect such a person. And they do not let sins come into this person's life. So many fadail and virtues for wudu are just suffice from this. But from this we can understand that wudu a person should do properly and with the intention that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him reward, elevate his status in Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his sins, and the state of wudu helps a person stay away from sin and stay away from the whispers of shaitan. That's why as believers we should not only perform wudu when we need to. It's time for salah, and a person needs to perform his salah, so he performs his wudu. Or a person wants to read the Quran, so he performs his wudu. No, as believers, we should perpetually always be in the state of wudu. This is mustahab and preferable. That at all times, we try to stay in the state of wudu. And a person gets into the habit of this, and when he doesn't have wudu, he'll feel dirty. He'll feel at ease that I don't have wudu. And as believers, we know death can come upon us any time. So it is better that a person stays in a state of wudu. You never know what can happen, an accident can happen, a person can have a sudden heart attack, the malakul maut, the angel of death can come upon us at any time. It is better that we leave this world in the state of wudu. It may be difficult, especially for those people who find it difficult to keep the wudu, but we should try our utmost best, especially before sleeping as well. A person should try to sleep in a state of wudu. So now, coming on to the masail, the rulings pertaining to wudu. So as we will all know, that there are four fara'id, four farz acts of wudu. The bare minimum by which a person's wudu can be done, there are four actions. Number one, that a person must wash his entire face at least once. An entire face refers to from where a person's hair starts to grow to under the chin. And from the side from one earlobe to the other earlobe, that whole area needs to be washed at least once. And in this, a person needs to be careful. Sometimes when a person, you know, he wakes up and there's certain, there'll be something in his corners of his eyes. If a person is not careful and does not rub it properly, then the water may not go inside. And especially for those brothers who have beards, then the area between the beard and the ears, this over here, it tends to stay dry. So a person should be careful that that whole area is washed properly. At least once for the farad of washing the face to be completed. Secondly, that a person must wash his arms. Yeah, so the arms, starting from the fingers, including the elbow, that whole arm, the right arm and the left arm must be washed once. Thirdly, a person must perform masah. Masah refers to wiping a wet hand over the head. So at least a quarter of the head must be wiped over. So whichever quarter it may be. But at least a quarter, in order for the furrows to be completed, must be wiped over. And finally, both the feet, including the ankles, must be washed at least once. For those brothers who may have tight toes, the toes are very close together, then they should ensure the water goes in between, otherwise his wudu will be incomplete. One other thing, when a person is washing his face, then if a person, he closes his lips tight, like this. One is a person normal, normally how he closes his mouth. And he does his wudu, and the outside portion of his lips are made wet, then that's fine. But if a person was to wash his face in the state that he's closing his lips very tightly, that means some portion of the lip is left dry, because of which a person's wudu will be incomplete. Similarly, when it comes to those brothers that have beards, so if a person's beard is light, meaning a person is able to see the skin underneath. If a person wants to look into the mirror, he can see the skin underneath. Then in wudu, it's necessary to make the water reach the skin. So a person may have to rub it a little, but you have to ensure that the water reaches the skin. But if the beard is dense, it is thick, and the skin can't be seen, then it is enough to pass the water on the hair. It's not necessary for a person to get the water inside. It's not something which is necessary. And that part of the beard, which is in line with the area of the face which I mentioned, from up to the under the chin. So this area over here, to get that area wet, will be furrowed, and the hair underneath which is growing underneath the chin, it is masnoon and sunnah to pass water over that as well. Another ruling is that if a person has some sort of medication on his body, on his arm, on his feet, and it is time for wudu, what should a person do? So a person will have to gauge that if he was to remove that medication, would it be harmful for him or not? Or would he feel extreme pain by removing that medication? Then in such a scenario, it is not necessary to remove that medication. A person can just wash over that. Some people, they might have some cracks on their feet and they might have placed medication inside and they are unable to take it out. Or if they do take it out, it will be very painful. Then in such a scenario, a person can just wash over the medication and his wudu will be complete. Another ruling that for females, if they have mehndi, you know, henna on, or the certain part of the body, they dye it with a dye, or if a person has ink, for example, on his hands, and it is time for wudu, then it is not necessary for a person to wash all that off. Because these items are such that they don't stop the water from getting to the skin, it is completely fine. But if a person has something on his body which is not permeable, meaning it does not let water reach the skin. For example, ladies might have nail polish, or a person might have some Tippex or something on his body which does not allow the water, super glue, to allow the water to pass through onto the skin, then a person's wudu will not be valid. So it's necessary to remove that nail polish, remove that super glue before a person performs his wudu in order for his wudu and his salah, etc., to be valid. Similarly, when it comes to paint, the person has been painting and got paint on his hands, on his face, then we'll have to be seen what kind of paint it is. If it is emulsion paint, which is water-based, then usually that lets the water pass through. The paint which is normally used on walls is usually emulsion paint, which is water-based, which lets the water pass through, then that will be fine and a person's wudu will be valid. But if it's glossy paint, usually used on skirting boards, etc., and it is oil-based, then this does not let water pass through, and hence, if a person has this on his hands, on his face, then his wudu will not be valid. He'll have to use paint remover, turpentine, etc., to remove that paint, and thereafter, he will perform his wudu. If a person has some sort of dirt in his fingernails, so normal dirt which can accumulate in a person's fingernails, scholars have mentioned that this is fine. A person does not need to go to great lengths to take out the dirt and stuff. The normal dirt which accumulates, you know, we shouldn't have long nails anyway. If a person does have some sort of long nails because of work, etc., he finds some dirt inside, then this is fine. His wuzu will still be valid. If a person is wearing a ring, if a person wears a ring, then there will be two scenarios. One is that the ring is loose and a person can easily move it. Second is that the ring is tight and it doesn't move very freely. So if the ring is loose, then when it comes to wudu, in both scenarios it's best the person just takes it off and performs his wudu so he knows everything is correct. But if the ring is loose and a person wants to perform his wudu like that, because it's loose, then the water will go through, hence it is okay. But it is preferable that the person moves his ring around to ensure that the water has gone underneath. If the ring is tight, then in such a scenario it will be necessary for a person to move that ring around and make sure the water has gone underneath. Next, we just do the masnoon method of wudu. So we mentioned the faraid of wudu, now the sunnah method of performing wudu. Firstly, a person should make an intention. A person should make the intention that I'm performing wudu in order to read salah, in order to read the Quran, to follow, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person should make an intention. If a person performs wudu without an intention, then his wudu will still be valid, but he won't get the rewards. And when would this happen? For example, if a person was to jump into a swimming pool, he has no intention of wudu. But because all the parts of the body where water needs to touch has become wet, his wudu will technically be valid, but if he had no intention, then he won't receive the rewards of wudu. Secondly, a person should say, Bismillah walhamdulillah. This is sunnah. So if a person says, Bismillah walhamdulillah, before commencing his wudu. Thereafter, he will wash his hands up to the wrist three times. Thereafter, he'll gargle his mouth three times, put water into his nose, put water in with the right hand, and then clean it with the left hand. And he'll do this three times. And for a person to exaggerate and make sure his mouth is clean, his nose is clean, this is also preferable. A person tries to exaggerate a little. Thereafter, he'll wash his whole face three times, as we mentioned before. Oh, sorry, I forgot to mention regards to miswak. When a person is gargling, then at that time it is sunnah to use miswak. And here's something which has been highly emphasized in the hadith of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as well. And some scholars have mentioned that it is sunnah mu'akkada. Highly emphasized sunnah to use miswak. So if a person has the actual miswak, then this is the best. But if in a scenario a person doesn't have a miswak on him, then a person can use his finger. So that's the least a person should do. He should rub his teeth with his finger if he doesn't have a miswak with him. But as believers and followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should make an effort to try to use a miswak. And we learn from the hadith, some hadith mentioned that that salah, which is performed after using miswak, holds 70 times more reward. But because we are lazy and we don't give it such importance, we are missing out on these rewards. So at least a person should use his finger to rub his teeth. And when it comes to miswak, the sunnah method to hold the miswak is that a person should the bottom, the little finger would go under the bottom, his thumb would go towards the tip, and the remaining three fingers would be on top. So he'd hold it like this, and then he should rub the miswak in a horizontal manner, starting from the right hand side and moving on to the left hand side. He should do this three times. Each time a person should try to wet the miswak. So first time wet it, rub, second time wet it, rub, and third time wet it, and then rub again. This is the sunnah method. Person said then, washing his face three times. And when it comes to the beard, it's also sunnah. After a person has washed his face, he gets a handful of water and he puts it through his beard like this. And the Prophet would mention, Hakadha amarani Rabbi. This is how my Lord has commanded me. So a person should do that. This is also sunnah. So after washing the face, a person should wash his arms, including the elbows, three times. First the right arm and then the left arm. And after that, it is sunnah to do khilal of the fingers. So khilal means to pass the fingers of one hand through the fingers of the other. So normally, it is seen that a lot of people, they tend to do the khilal of their fingers after they've done masah. This is not correct. The correct method or the correct time to do the khilal of the fingers is after a person has washed his arms. Once you've washed your arms, then that is the correct time to do the khilal of your fingers. Thereafter, for a person to do masa of the whole head. So one quarter is farad, but to do the whole head, this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And for that, a person can just simply put his hands to the back, and you can bring them forward again. To do this, do the sides, this is fine. All the way back, and all the way back to the front, this is enough. Normally, we've been taught this method of, you know, for a person to use three fingers to go back, and then use the palms to do the sides, and then the fingers for the ears. This is something which is not established. So some scholars have mentioned this, but this is something which is not necessary. For a person to follow the sunnah, it is simple. A person just puts his hands forward in the back, and then after to do clean the ears with his fingers. This is also sunnah. And to wipe over the back of the neck. So even the back of the neck doesn't necessarily have to be the back of the hand. Even a person who uses the front, but he does the back of the neck, this is also mustahab, something which is preferable. But the person should only do the back of the neck. For a person who does the front of the neck, scholars have mentioned that this is an innovation, this is bid'ah, this is something which is not established in the Sharia. So once a person has done the masah, thereafter to wash both the feet, including the ankles, three times each, and a person should do khilal of the toes as well. And the method for that is a person should use the little finger of the left hand and go through his toes. And after once a person has finished that, then it is sunnah for a person to look into the look up towards the sky and to say the second kalima. Or to say, أَشْهَدُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Should recite this, أَشْهَدُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And thereafter read the Muslim dua, اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْنِي مِنَ التَّوَّابِينَ وَاجْعَلْنِي مِنَ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. So this is a sunnah method, which if a person is unaware of certain du'as, then we should make an effort to try and learn this. Inshallah, we'll just suffice on that. This means 20 minutes. There's still a few more masail. We'll carry on. Certain things pertaining to wudu or breaks the wudu, etc. Inshallah, we'll carry on next week. Anyone have any questions? Don't ask me on the way out. No? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives all the tawfiq.